Welcome to worship and our continued journey through Lent. Driven by the Spirit, Jesus went out to inhabit a liminal place.
For 40 days and nights, homeless and weary, famished and footsore, he wandered and watched and wrestled.
For 40 days and nights, companioned by animals and angels, he traversed and tested and tempered.
And then, knowing who he was, seeing where he must go, understanding what he should do.
Jesus, filled with the Spirit, returned from the uncharted place to do the work of the kingdom.
We'll sing verses 1 and 2 of Touch the Earth Lightly, number 739, and then a little later on we'll sing verses 3 and 4, so keep it marked. Challenge us to make this season a journey of discovery.
As we leave conquering landmarks behind to inhabit and explore our own uncharted places, help us to discern who we are and embrace what we might become.
Jesus, by your words and actions, you show us how to watch and wait and wrestle.
As we listen now to those familiar stories and savor afresh your wit and wisdom, help us to recognize where we are and envisage where we need to move to.
Jesus, you offer us your company in the known and unknown places.
As we touch hands with you now through story and song and in bread and wine, help us to better understand the threads of our lives and see how to weave them with yours into the patterns of our kingdom.
We continue with the hymn, verses 3 and 4.
Reading is from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Hear my voice, O Lord, when I call. Have mercy on me and answer me. My heart speaks your message. Seek my face. Your face, O Lord, I will seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not away from your servant in anger. Cast me not away. You have been my helper. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of my oppressors. Subject me not to the will of my foes, for they rise up against me, false witnesses breeding violence. This I believe, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord and be strong. Take heart and wait for the Lord. The second reading is from Philippians chapter 3. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears. Their end is destruction, their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will transform the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved.
I invite you to please stand as you are able for the Holy Gospel. This is the Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter. Thanks be to God. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stone those who are sent to it, how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Holy Gospel. Thanks be to God. So I was wondering if the kids would be willing to come and have a conversation with me. We don't do children's time super often in this village, but kind of in honor of my friend River, who will be leaving, and her cool brother that came, I thought it'd be fun. You guys willing to come up and hang out with me? Cedar Bowl already. Hi, Aria. How are ya? All right, so I've got a question. We can sit here on the stones. Oh, there they are. Hello, everybody. Okay, question. Now, parents, don't freak out by their answers. What does God look like? Ever thought about it? Have you ever thought about what God looks like? What do you think? What would be some physical characteristics of God if we could see God?
A white beard?
A white beard, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Any other ideas?
Brown hair?
Maybe brown hair, yeah.
Almost maybe white bald hair?
White bald hair, yeah. I've seen pictures of God like that. Any other ideas?
A giant guy up in space,
right? I think these are all the things that our world has shown us, but do you want to know what I've learned from Scripture? You know what God looks like?
What?
All those things and none of those things. What? Actually, God is not a male or a female. Yeah, what do you think, Will?
A fingerprint on the floor.
A fingerprint on the floor. I love that image of God. That's the best. Good job. High five. That was a really good one. Yeah, believe it or not, God is not a man or a woman, because God is bigger than all of that. And God doesn't even look like a human, I don't think, because God is bigger than all of that. So we, in our Bible, we have lots of different ways that we try and explain God, but no one thing does a real good job of explaining God, because God is bigger than the whole wide universe, right? So one of my favorite images that Jesus uses to try and describe himself
Did you notice it today? Maybe not. In the gospel I just read, see if we can figure this out. I'm so grateful for the cast of Moana. Did you ever think of God looking like a chicken?
No.
You didn't? That's totally what Jesus does. Jesus says, he compares himself to a mama hen. And he loves the people of Jerusalem so, so much, and they've been having trouble figuring out how to be good human beings. And Jesus says, oh, how I long to gather you all into my brood and protect you. You want to come into my brood? It's like a big group hug. A big group hug. Oh. Doesn't this feel nice and safe and cozy? That you can think of what God looks like. A mama hen that gives you the biggest, best hug that you've ever imagined, and it helps you to feel safe and warm and loved and protected. Isn't that the best image for God ever?
Yeah.
All right. So next time somebody says, do you know what God looks like? And you say, yep, a big mama chicken. Okay? You got it? All right. Thanks, guys. You can go back and sit down.
Big mama chicken.
I don't know where that old man with the beard comes from, but he shows up every single time. All right. So, I'm not going to lie. Today, my friend, the pastor, says, good. I am going to move this out of the way because I have set my hair on fire before. Not going to lie, but I got the fever. I always think of James Brown when I say that. Spring fever, right? I was up in my happy little pastor office, and I felt like I was punished because all my friends were out on the dock, and they were doing cartwheels, and they're flossing, and they're listening to music, and playing guitars, and doing yoga. I believe I saw somebody doing down dog. And I was like, oh, I have to sit in here and do my homework. But you know the feeling, right, of spring fever? It's like you're prone to distraction, hard to get anything done. You just want to be outside, hanging out with your friends. There's something about the sun and springtime that's kind of hypnotic. It's like there's this shift happening from the winter blahs to the sunny springtime, and there's something like magnetic about it. I really feel like a physical pull on me. Like there's this physical pulling to be in this present moment, to cease to be distracted and just be here to bask in the goodness of things, to forget troubles and stresses and responsibilities, and maybe just play hooky for the afternoon, right? Spring fever, I think, is about finding space to just take in the glory of it all. And I truly believe that to this sort of attitude towards the world around us, to this kind of spring fever-inspired attitude, I believe we as a people are called to this. And as we enter week 2 of our Lenten journey, we shift from the element of fire to now the element of earth, which is why we have all these wonderful growing things coming out of our center. I would have never imagined that by St. Paddy's Day, that the earth would be breaking forth out of the snows of Main Street. But there it is, right down the middle of the village, mud and rock and things that we can actually sink our fingers into if you're willing to cut them on some of the stones of the gravel. There's something physical that's pulling our attention, grounding us in this moment, and begging us just to stand there and take it all in. Which is why I take issue with Paul. Where is Paul? Not with Paul, but with St. Paul. I was going to look and see where Paul was sitting so I could make eyes at him. Not you, my friend. With St. Paul, the guy who wrote the second reading that we had today. He's the one that wrote the letter. He was in jail, and he wrote this letter to this community of folks in Philippi, the Philippians. And he's talking to them about how enemies of the cross set their minds on earthly things, like this is a bad thing. First, the whole enemies of the cross bit. It's like it's bad if you're enemies of the cross. I just read an article on this text from Philippians written by a guy in England. Evesham, is that how you say it? Evesham is where he's from. It's kind of over by Wales and sort of central England. And he wrote an article on this. His name's Edward Pillar. And he points out that shouldn't we all be enemies of the cross, right? I mean, think about it. He notes that the cross was the ultimate in the imperial toolbox of intimidation by the Romans. It was public. And it was grisly. They used crucifixion to terrorize the people. And I, for one, am an enemy of that. I've practiced saying that so many times. Am an enemy of that. Right? And then this critique that the people are setting their minds on earthly things. Don't set your minds on the stuff of earth, people, but keep your heads in the clouds. Disconnect yourself from this world and focus on heaven. At least that's what it kind of sounds like Paul is saying. And I gotta say, I'm an enemy of that. Right? I believe that we are called to ground ourselves in the earthly gift that we've been given. And I believe that we are to shun violence, especially the grisly terrorizing kind, right? So what is Paul then actually saying? I think we need to back up just a little bit in the text. There are some behaviors, some ways of being in the world that Paul takes issue with. For one, he says, their God is in their belly. Did you hear that? Their God is in their belly. One of the big issues of the day was whether or not the followers of Jesus Christ should eat the meat that's being offered in the marketplace to pagan gods, right, to the pagan idols. If you don't believe in those deities, I think for some of the Christians, it's like, who cares, right? It's just food. But if you are new to the church community and trying to figure out what this whole Jesus thing is about, it could be confusing, and I think that's what Paul is getting at. I have to say, I make this mistake all the time with kids. Some of you may have figured out, but I'm not exactly one for following rules, especially if I can see their limits. And there was this one time we were having a church block party, and we had those big inflatable things, and there was this one that you could climb up pretty high on these like spongy air-filled steps. And then there was a slide, which was totally awesome. But of course, adult that I was like, well, we gotta make this more challenging, right? And I launched myself headlong, headfirst, down the slide. Now, I knew the dangers as an adult, right? I had the strength to protect myself from crashing at the bottom. My arms were actually long enough to hold the sides of the slide in case I was going too fast. Maturity granted me certain protections. But the little kids didn't share my same culture of adulthood wisdom. They only saw me heading headlong, head first, and they thought, cool, we want to do that too. And as soon as I had broken this rule, the little ones started barreling down the slide head first. Thankfully, no one was hurt. But I will tell you that the 16-year-old kid running the ride pulled me aside, and he asked me to leave. Pastor, you probably don't know that, but oh well. Yeah, it was funny. I felt safe going down head first, but I really did have to think of others, right, that would be following. The Philippians may have worshipped the God of their belly, right? For those that perhaps had been in the church, they figured, eating the food, not a big deal. I just want that meat, right? But they were really concerned about their own freedom. Same for me. I don't like rules. I was much more concerned about my own freedom when it came to my decisions to hurl myself down the slide. Our freedom can become more important than our community. My guess is that Paul was reacting to the people's self-centeredness. Our human inclination to guard and secure our own needs and rights. This is what he calls earthly thinking. I would call it self-centeredness or even self-absorption. When we ground ourselves in the earth, I believe that our self-serving tendencies, our self-love and self-preservation run amok. I believe these things fall by the wayside when we ground ourselves. Being present in the moment, you know, that sort of spring fever inspired ideology, like when we ground ourselves in the moment and have that magnetic pull just to be present to what's around us, we better communicate with the community that's around us. And we pause and we celebrate the things that give us life. We do that far better when we're able to ground ourselves. We learn how to honor the things that surround us far better. And I believe that this is what Paul is calling us to. Strangely enough, he would argue that it is the cross of Christ that leads us to this kind of grounding. And for me, this has really become the heart of the matter. It's why I'm willing to identify as Christian. Because when it comes to living our lives well, the secular world and frankly religious worlds too put a lot of stock in winning, like winning an argument. Being right matters, especially over and above those whom we disagree with, right? Living our lives well has everything to do with making the right choices and then benefiting from those choices. Doing things well justifies us. We feel confident and even righteous. And then there's Jesus, the strange guy who chose to orient his life totally differently. He hung out with all the wrong people. And even born a Jew, he regularly critiqued the Jewish religious leadership, not for the content of their faith, but for the exclusiveness of their practice. Jesus didn't try and make people comfortable. He showed them life. And like the cross for him, life often means suffering for the sake of another. These are the messages that we human beings would just rather ignore. But for me, when I'm courageous enough, humble enough, they are the heart of my faith. Faith is not about being right. Let me say that again. Faith is not about being right. It's not about justifying myself. I'm not trying to prove anything to anyone. I am simply trying to live into what I believe, trusting that it will open up life for those around me. In our gospel reading today, it's the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, strangely enough, who tried to warn Jesus that King Herod was out to kill him. But preserving his own life, justifying himself, was not Jesus' MO. He looked at the people of Jerusalem, saw how they had been shaped by the self-serving ways of that culture. Ours is not that different. And how they had fallen prey to the cultural norms of looking out for themselves. How they reveled in excluding those whom they disdained. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jesus says, I know that you've gotten rid of the people who challenge your self-serving ways. Remember, he talks about them killing the prophets. I know that you've gotten rid of the people who challenge you on your self-serving ways, and yet, how long have I longed to gather you up? As a loving mother gathers up her young to a place of safety in her embrace. And you were not willing to let me show you the way of life. God doesn't force us to do anything. That freedom to do what we want, that freedom that I was fighting for, probably why I fight against rules, the freedom that we want, we have it. For better or for ill, we have that freedom. And I believe that Jesus died showing us that we'll never lose it.
Our service continues with confession and Kyrie. If you are a music reader and would like to have the notes in front of you, it's hymn number 154. But honestly, the two lines that are provided there for you in your bulletins repeat an awful lot. So my hunch is that you will learn them as we go. As you are able, I invite you to please stand.
You draw us into the quietness of the desert so that we can encounter ourselves. But we confess that all too often we stubbornly cling to false images rather than face the necessity of change.
You
call us into the emptiness of the desert so that we can confront our desires. But we confess that all too often we continue to choose our own comfort rather than serving the needs of others.
You
drive us into the dangers of the desert so that we can engage with your kingdom. But we confess that all too often we prefer the smooth roads of safety over the perilous pathways of justice.
God hears our prayers, honors our desire for change, and puts us on right paths for the sake of ourselves and our community. Know that through the love and life of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Through sacrifice, you are made new. Holy God, we pray for this community. We pray for our nation and our world. Guide leaders and raise up new voices to speak truth to their power. We pray for the family and friends of those lost in the Ethiopian plane crash. We honor the memory of our Muslim brothers and sisters in New Zealand who lost their lives to hatred through gun violence. We remember the mother of Karen Bodenschatz, one of our partners in ministry with us this week, whose mother, Sue, was placed in a hospital today for heart health. And then there's all the violence that goes unnoticed and ignored. God, we beg of you, draw out our capacity for love and understanding. Heal our hurts so that we can be free to hold the hurt of others. Bless us this day and always. Amen.
May the peace of God, the comforting peace of familiar presence, the untamed peace of wilderness places, the challenging peace of watching and wrestling, surround and shape your journey onwards. You may exchange a sign of peace yes. with one another.
I want to be there.
No, I want to
be there. Peace to both of you. Thank you for sitting with me in the front row.
Thank you.
Like a tent in the wilderness, the table of God stands open and ready as a place of sanctuary and safety, of hospitality and healing. So come, all you who are tired and travel-stained, foot sore and famished, come with your fellow travelers and find companionship and comfort. For here, Jesus, who knows what it is to wander, watch, and wrestle in desert places, waits to meet us and to welcome us in, offering us rest and restoration, solace and strength for the journey still to come. Before going out into the wilderness of the garden, Jesus sat down to eat and drink with his friends, to show them the challenge of the way ahead and to offer them gifts for that journey. He took bread, sustaining and nourishing, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He took wine, earthy and warming, saying, "This is my blood shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And this is where you get to participate in the communion liturgy, so you want to have your bulletins open. And now, remembering that moment and recognizing that his promise is also for us in this time and place, we too break our bread. Just hang on here, I'll do that. We too pour our wine. And we share these things with one another. And through this action, we recognize and affirm with joy that Christ is present with us now and throughout time to come. And we join our voices with those of all creation and in an unending song of praise. The cry of the poor has become your own cry. Our hunger and thirst for justice is your own desire. God of the liminal places, send down upon us now and on these gifts of bread and wine the same spirit who drove Jesus into the desert, that we too may be strengthened by your presence and emboldened to pursue love and justice in all the world. Now join our prayers with your prophets and martyrs of every age, that we might live in the freedom and hope of your Son, through Jesus Christ, in the unity of the triune God. Glory and honor is yours, Holy One, now and forever. We now join in praying the prayer that Jesus taught us. I know that there are many versions and ways that these words hold meaning for us. Please know that the version that you know and prefer is the right one. Let us pray. God in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The tent side is open, the table is set, and God waits for us to come in from the desert for a while and be refreshed. Know that our desire is that there be no barriers between you and this feast that Jesus offers us. It is his table. It is he who invites you to come. And so the first place will have gluten, and then I will be holding bread.
Gluten-free.
Oh, gluten-free. Right. And then my friend Libby here will be holding the common cup. And this you can either drink directly from it, or you can dip your piece of bread in it and eat it. But if you prefer to drink wine or juice from the cups, you take a cup, and then either wine or juice can be poured from you, and then you just place your empty cup there. You may be seated, and we'll start with the south side of the sanctuary to start coming forward. Mm-hmm.
of Jesus Christ bless you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Tender and merciful one, at your feast you feed us who have brought nothing, turning our emptiness into joy. Now, filled with your abundant grace, send us to be practitioners of reconciliation, mending broken hearts, working for justice, and striving for peace among all people. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 326, Bless Now, O God, the Journey. And I invite you to stand as you feel comfortable, but you can stay seated too if you want.
To journey for a season through the wilderness places. And so, as Jesus did before us, we will set out once more to wander in an uncomfortable landscape and wrestle with its challenges, that through the empowering action of the Spirit, we may emerge ready to do the work of the kingdom. Go in peace, ready to serve.
Thanks be to God.